here. Nice to see you all. Tonight we are going to quickly review what we did last week, and then we're not so much from the end of Tochen. We'll probably finish in one more shiur, so it'll be a relatively shortish series. Last week, when we talked about Tochen, specifically with Salas, we talked about a number of kulas. First of all, we talked about the Rambam's kula, that there's only Tochen by things that you'll eventually cook. That means anything that's a raw food, like carrots, is this working? The mic?
Yeah.
Carrots, cucumbers, you could slice them as small as you want because those don't get cooked. But unfortunately, we found out that we don't follow that Rambam. Next, we saw there was a leniency that we did follow, a very important leniency, and that is la'alter, immediately. And we saw that the halacha is that you can cut small pieces if it's immediately preceding the meal. However, even though we saw that that kula does permit you to cut as small as you want right before the meal, the poskim, the Shabur himself, the Shulchan Aruch himself, said that you shouldn't cut it too small. So you're allowed to cut a salad, and a salad in salad size, as long as it's right before the meal, but again, not too small. What's too small? I wish I knew. That was the main part of last week. We also finished off last week talking about the additional leniency for things that are not gidulei karka. In other words, tochen applies only to things that grow, like vegetables, like fruits, like grain, like dyes that you scrunch up, you smush up into powder to make your various colors for your mishkan. However, things that are not gidulei karka, that don't grow from the ground, for example, we have this leniency for meat and eggs, for egg salad, crumbling cheese. These are all things that are not gidulei karka. They don't grow on the ground. Don't worry, we just started. I guess started a little bit late. And I never realized until, you know, today, tuna fish. Tuna fish is a great example of something that you are allowed to mesh. Small as you want. Oh, isn't that tochen? The answer is it is tochen, but it's tochen of something that is not gidulei karka. It's not something that grows from the ground. Tuna fish do not grow on the ground. You're going to see. That's not the ground. So therefore, we could crush our eggs, we could crush our tuna fish, we could crush our meat, we could crush our cheese. That's sort of what we said last week. I have a very simple question. Let me share with you, and now I'll start the new stuff, a Mishnah, the very first Mishnah in Maseches Beitzah. And there, we're going to see a discussion, totally tangential, talking about Kisui Hadam. From that discussion about Kisui Hadam, we'll come to find something interesting about the halacha of tochen in the kitchen that we just discussed. Kisui Hadam is, of course, anyone here fulfill the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam? Has anyone here done kaparas with a real live animal? Do you have it? No? Okay. After they do kaparas with a chicken, the goal is that the chicken should be shechted. And then I had the fortune to be present at the shechita, and the shochet says, okay, it's your chicken, you could do the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam. So you take some, I think there's dirt on the bottom and on top of the blood. I don't remember exactly what goes first, what goes where, but that's the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam. Now, let me ask you a question, and now we'll get to the point. Are you allowed to do shechita on Yom Tov? You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov? You're allowed to cook meat and chicken on Yom Tov? But are you also allowed to shecht an animal on Yom Tov? Or is that just like too far away? Is that like too far out? What do you say? Let's take a vote. Who thinks you are allowed to shecht on Yom Tov? Okay, who thinks you're not allowed to shecht on Yom Tov? Okay, so the vast majority of people think you're not allowed to shecht on Yom Tov. What is the halacha?
Isn't it like karbonas in the Mishkan?
Well, karbonas is a whole different world, because that you're even allowed to do on Shabbos. Shabbos. We say karbonos on Shabbos. Yeah, so karbonos avodah is a different story. We're talking about just for lunch.
Is you let a chef.
What? Yeah, it's ochel nefesh. It's going to be your lunch. So you hold it should be okay.
If you're eating it on this Shabbos.
You're eating it for Yom Tov lunch. Yeah, you're going to shecht it in the morning and have it for lunch. So the Mishnah says that you are allowed to shecht on Yom Tov. This is the very first Mishnah, Maseches Beitza. Beitza is a nickname for, what's the other name of Maseches Beitza? What did we say? A few weeks ago, I think we pointed this out. What? Nickname for Maseches Beitza is Maseches Yom Tov. Why? Because it talks about Yom Tov. We have Maseches Shabbos, we have Maseches Yom Tov, that's Maseches Beitza. So the very first mission basis says, you know what? When you go and shecht before on Yom Tov, you have to, well, it's machlokas, how you do the Kisi Hadam. What's the issue? The issue is, wait, Kisi Hadam means I take a clump of ground from the earth, a clump of earth from the ground. I lift it up, and I'll use that to sprinkle over the blood that I just, you know, spilled on the floor, right? How do you take that earth and crumble it up and sprinkle it? After all, isn't that, asks the Gemara in Beitza towards the beginning of the Masechta, isn't that tochen? What are you doing tochen on? A piece of a clump of earth. The Mishnah Gemara says, hey, how can you do that? How can you do the Kisei Adam? You're going to be tochen. You're going to be grinding up those crumbs, that clump, into sprinkles of dirt to sprinkle on the dam when you do your kisei hadam. So the Gemara there says, oh, it's only mutter if you have sort of like crumbled up dirt. You know, you go, only Americans do that. I mean, only like Western people, like us, would like go to a store and buy a bag of dirt. Like we buy water in bottles and pay for it. We buy dirt in bags and pay for it at the, you know. So that's what it's talking about. If you have that dirt that's already pre-crumbled, that you could do kisei hadam. Okay, fine. Let's just take this one point that we saw from that Gemara. We see from that story of kisei hadam in the beginning of Maseches Beitza that crumbling dirt, the Gemara says, hey, isn't this tochein? If not for the fact that it's pre-crumbled dirt that you bought in a bag at like Walmart or like Home Depot. If not for that, it would be crumbling tochein on Yom Tov of what? What do you mean tochein? Something that is gidulei karka? Did it grow from the ground? Does dirt grow from the ground? That's a good question. Well, that is the ground. No, dirt is not gidulei karka. Dirt is not like a vegetable. Dirt is not like a fruit. Dirt is not like a tree. Dirt is not like wood. Dirt is dirt. It's not gidulei karka. And yet we see the Gemara applied the problem of tochein to dirt, even though it is not gidulei karka. And therefore we have a problem. Because I just finished telling you that anything that's not gidulei karka, like meat and eggs and cheese and tuna fish, you could crumble it, you could smush it, you could mash it, because it's not gidulei karka, it doesn't grow from the ground. But yet, here we just saw this Mishnah, and the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Beitza says that even dirt, which is not gidulei karka, and therefore it should be like tuna fish, but yet the Gemara says that that's a problem to crumble it, to do the kisei hadam. It's a problem of tochen. So clearly, this parameter, this leniency that we have for tochen, for things that are not kidulei karka, is only within things that are edible. Who said that? Somebody. Yes, thank you. Edible. Only within the world of edible stuffs, only things that are edible, that's food, then there's a leniency for gidulei karka. I'm sorry, let me rephrase it. Then there's a leniency for things that are not gidulei karka. Meaning, within foodstuffs, we'll say anything that grows is subject to tochein. Anything that doesn't grow from the ground, rather it's an animal or a mineral, not a vegetable. Those of you who know, what's that? HMS Pinafore? HMS Pinafore? Am I right? That's the play, right? Okay, we have to get our group a little bit more cultured. Fine, next week, instead of Shia, we'll be going to a nice off-Broadway show. What? Pirates of Penzance. Thank you very much. Yes, Pirates of Penzance. So, in the Pirates of Penzance, they talk about three things in the world. There's vegetable, animal, and mineral. So, anything that's vegetable is subject to tochein. Anything that's either animal, like meat, tuna fish, cheese, maybe, or mineral, like dirt, well, dirt's going to be different. Anything that's food is, if it grows in the ground, it's going to be subject to tochein. If it doesn't grow in the ground, it's mutter to grind up. But things that are non-food items, let's think of some non-food items that will therefore, yes, be subject to toche. They will be asur to be toche. So we just said that crumbling dirt to sprinkle on Kisei Hadam, for all of you who want to do Kisei Hadam this Yantif, before this Yantif is not for a long time now. Where else do we have crumbling up of things that are not food items that could come up on Shabbos? And we're saying now, will, yes, be a problem. Will be a problem.
Chalk.
Chalk, 100%. Those of you who are teachers know that sometimes you have a little bit of chalk and it turns into that powder. Sometimes you crush it a little bit. Or maybe as you write, writing is a different issue. But besides the writing issue, you turn it into that powder. That should be tochen, 100%. Believe it or not, I actually have that. Yes. Yes, kashim chalk.
Is that like scraping at a stain?
Sorry?
Scraping at a stain?
100%, yes. What kind of stain? Chalent stain. Yes, let's see, you have a chalent that falls on my suit. If I scrape it off with my nail, besides getting into whatever issues of cleaning, of libun, of cleansing as in washing clothes without getting to that at all, just the crumbling off of the dry chalent. See, if the chalent is wet, then I'm not crumbling anything. I'm not pulverizing anything. It's no toche. But if it's dry chalent on my outfit that I'm going to crumble off, let's say I notice a few hours afterwards, I notice there's something on my, or on my shoe, there's something that's dry that I'm going to crumble off, that will be an iser of toche. Sheetrock. Sheetrock is not kedulei karka. Let's say you have you're sitting, some people have like holes in their wall because we had in our bathroom, we live in a barment building around here. The building was built, I don't know, 1920s, and it's sturdy as a rock. And then they wanted to redo our bathroom so they could charge us more rent. So they redo our bathrooms, and they take down this steel reinforced concrete wall and put up a sheetrock. And they call that renovations. It doesn't make sense. My kids could put their fists straight through the wall, that's called a renovation. I don't know. So if let's say you were playing with some sheetrock, or you're twiddling your thumb with some sheetrock, for whatever reason that you might do that, well, that also, if it crumbles, that would also be toching. And very commonly, in muddy season, depending on where you live, if you live in a place where you get mud on your shoes, while it's wet, you could wipe your shoes off. Once your shoes or boots get dry, then all that mud is going to be the same as the chalent that's dried on your shirt, or on your suit, and therefore you cannot crumble off the dry mud on your clothing, or on your boots, or on your shoes. Okay, so that's the first part of Tochein. The first part of Tochein, the first point that we made, is that there's a leniency to do it immediately before the meal. We weren't really clear about how small I could cut, but I'm allowed to cut at least salad-sized things if it's right before a meal. The second leniency we just said is that anything that doesn't grow from the ground, like tuna fish and eggs and meat, that I could crush without a problem, without a question, however I want. There are some limitations. You're not going to be able to use any crumbling tools. I think I mentioned this in passing. Anything that's made to crumble, a grater or a musher or a mortar and pestle, for those of you who have mortar and pestles in your house, those are always going to be off limits. Even for something like tuna fish. Let's say you have tuna fish. No, let's talk about something more reasonable. Let's say you have cheese and you want to put it, we said cheese you could crumble, but not with a grater. A grater is a specified tochein tool, and therefore, even if there's no tochein by cheese, so you're right, it's not tochein, but getting involved with graters and specified instruments for tochein, those specified instruments are, you're right, it's not tochein, because cheese is not subject to tochein, because it doesn't grow on the ground, but I mentioned the words last week, it's uvda d'chol, it's a weekday kind of thing, stay away from these tools. I don't mean tools from the wood shop, I mean tools from the kitchen, if they're tochein kinds of tools, tools to chop up and to smash and to grate and to dice, all those tools cannot be used on Shabbos, even if it's something that's not subject to tochein, like cheese, for example. Let's talk about two more significant exceptions to the rule of tochein. The next one that we'll talk about is very, very, very practical and very It really comes up. And this is a rule called Ein Tochein Achar Tochein. Once Tocheined, will never be Tocheined again. Let me give you an example. This was a question that was asked to the Rashba. The Rashba was asked, can I crumble bread to give to my chickens? Right? We talked about people have chickens in their backyard, and the Rashba lived in a neighborhood where they had chickens in their backyard, or was sent to Shalit from where they had chickens in their backyard. In the old days, everybody had chickens in their backyard. So the Rashba said, you know what? If you do it right before they're going to eat, that's fine. What did the Rashba say? That if you do something right before you consume it, if you grind something up right before consumption, that's permitted. That's what we learned about like 10-15 minutes ago. But he didn't say, well, it's bread. Of course you could grind it up because it has already been ground up when they made the flour in the first place. So that's the Rashba's chumrah, his leniency to grind up breadcrumbs, bread into crumbs for the chickens. That was a leniency if it's right before you eat it, but it ends up that he doesn't tell you anything about the fact that it's already pre-ground, right? This is what used to be flour, and now it's just bread and you're crumbling it again. However, there are those who say that, no, you don't have to be worried about doing it right before consumption. There's a very specific heter, there's a distinct heter. Ein tochein achar tochein. Ein, there's no halach of tochein after something has already been ground. So if you have something that's ground, give me a minute and then we'll get into some applications and we'll take some questions. If you have something that's already been ground, so therefore if I have, let's say, a piece of bread has already been ground, right? I made it out of the flour that was ground from the kernels of grain. And now I have a piece of bread, I would be able to grind it up again on Shabbos. Of course, we're not going to use any tools. We're not going to use a grater, we're not going to use a mortar and pestle, we're not going to use any other smasher machines, we're not going to use a mill, but I'm allowed to crush things up. Now, the source of this halacha was actually from a sefer called the Sefer Mitzvah Hagadol, the Smag. The Smag, he lived, actually, where did this Sefer Smag come from? The Smag, Sefer Mitzvah Hagadol, is a listing of mitzvahs. So we know that different mefarshim throughout the centuries, different rishonim, compiled Sefer HaMitzvahs. We know the Rambam wrote his Sefer HaMitzvahs. We know the Sefer HaChinuch wrote his list of the 632 mitzvahs. Well, Sefer Mitzvah Hagadol, before he wrote his book, apparently was like a traveling magid. And he used to travel around France giving drushes about mitzvahs. And then after a few years doing that, this is what everybody does nowadays. You speak and you do shiurim, and then after a few years you realize that, wow, I can just put this all into a book and I don't have to do anything. It's already prepared. That's sort of what he did. So that's how the Sefer Mitzvahs came around, because everybody liked his shiurim on when he would go traveling around southern France or Spain or wherever it was. People liked his shiurim. He was telling people, I have to be careful about this halacha and this halacha and this mitzvah, and that eventually became the Sefer Mitzvah Hagadol. And when he talks about Shabbos, he talked about Tochein. When he talks about Tochein, he says, don't worry, when it comes to bread, there's no problem with Tochein because bread has already been ground previously. There's no such halacha of grinding once something was already ground.
Wait, is that the opposite of the Rashba?
Yes. The Rashba gave the leniency only because it's immediately before consumption. And he should have just said more simply, he should have said bread is not subject to Tochein. Right. So the Rashba does not hold from this. But these other Rishonim do allow you to grind things that were already ground. And the Shulchan Aruch does paskin in Shin Chaf Aleph, Yud Beis 321:12, that Tochein only applies to things like fruit and vegetables and the like. But anything that was already ground up like bread, you're allowed to crumble. Let's give a few examples. First of all, breadcrumbs. Right? That was a discussion that the Rishonim himself spoke about. You want to make breadcrumbs, that is going to be permitted to do on Shabbos. What happens if you want to make a graham cracker crust? On Yom Yantif, right? We said that you're, that halachs of Tochen, we didn't say, but we mentioned a little bit, Tochen does apply on Yantif, right? That was the whole question about how could you grind up the dirt with Kisi Hadam, that was on Yantif. Tochen does apply to Yantif. Maybe we'll talk about that a different week at more, at greater length. But if you want to make a crushed graham cracker crust, Shabbos, Yantif, could you do that? If you'd have asked me a few weeks ago, I'd have said, absolutely not, that's Tochen. But we're learning tonight that that will in fact be mutter. So if you have a recipe and you want to make a graham cracker crust, and let's say, for example, you have an ice cream bar, and in the ice cream bar there's toppings, for example, and there's crumbled cookies, and you want to do this on Shabbos and Yantif, you're allowed to make this crumbled cookies, Oreo, red Oreo cookies. You crumble them and you sprinkle them on top of the ice cream to make sort of like a cookies and cream type of ice cream. That would be okay. Where else do we crumble food on Shabbos and Yantif? That if it's going to be bread or cookies or crackers, it's going to be okay. Salad, what do I cut up in a salad? Well, if I do almonds or walnuts, that won't be okay. Because
no, like
walnuts are not pre-ground. But
chips.
Let's think about that. Tortilla chips, like?
Yeah.
Okay, so you crumble tortilla chips into a salad. Let's think about that. How do you make tortilla chips? What are they made out of?
Corn
flour. That should be mutter. Great. Very important. Think Pesach.
Matzah?
Yeah, what about matzah?
Matzah meal.
If you want to make, I don't know what you do during Yantif, but in our family we make matzah falafel pancakes. Now matzah falafel, you can just buy the matzah falafel. Sometimes you don't have matzah falafel, you take a matzah and you crunch it up, and you have matzah falafel. Are you allowed to do that on Yantif? Cholamayit, okay, of course you can do it on Cholamayit. But on Yantif itself, are you allowed to do that? The answer is yes, you are allowed to do that. Why? Because the matzah was already ground up into the flour before it was baked into matzah. So now that's matzah, you could once again grind it up. Yeah.
Actually, a general question. Do persona halachos don't apply on Yom Tov because of Ochel Nefesh, but in a case of something like Tochen, does it apply across the board in the same
so, way? So, Tochen on Yom Tov is going to be a separate shir. It has its own parameters, but in general, the question does it apply, does it not? In general, it does apply, but there might be different parameters, but yes, Tochen in general should apply, but that's not for right now. I'll hope it'll be maybe a week or two. Yeah.
Potato chips that are just sliced potatoes.
Great question. Potato chips that are sliced, are you allowed to chop them up for your salad? Let's say like you wanted to make a tortilla chip salad and you got all the ingredients, comes Shabbos lunch and you go to the pantry and like, oh my gosh, they're not tortilla chips, they're potato chips. Can I crumble those up? What do you say?
Probably not.
Absolutely not. That would be tochen.
If you said that slicing it really thin is tochen, then maybe you could.
Right, that's true. No, but you want to crumble them up.
But
this is you're a step ahead of me. Very good. Okay. Well, that we could think about. Very good. Very good. Excellent.
But you say
I would think it would be a problem. Yeah, except if you use Pringles, because Pringles are not slices of potatoes. Pringles are, we all got Pringles. They're milled corn. They're milled potatoes. They're ground up potatoes, and therefore they're potato flour. That's why they're shahakal, not hadam, but they're not slices. It's also why they taste so good. And they also have that chemical that kills you. What's that called? The carcinogenic thing that makes it not stick? No, not MSG. It's something carcinogenic in Pringles, I thought. Check the box next time you buy it. So Pringles, you can crumble into a salad if you... It sounds like a good salad. It's a Pringles salad. My kids would love it. And tortilla chips you can. However, regular potato chips or those other, those fancy beet chips and sweet potato, all those would be problematic. Because they were not yet ground up.
If you chop the salad before Shabbos, can you chop it again in smaller pieces?
Excellent question. If something's already chopped before Shabbos, and you want to chop it into even smaller pieces on Shabbos, I do remember seeing discussion about that. I don't remember the answer. I assume it would be a problem. I don't remember definitively. It is discussed. I assume it would be a problem.
So why would that be different? Because they're bigger and they're not really crumbled?
Why what?
What? So you assume it would be a problem.
I assume that it would be usher to...
So why is that?
Because it wasn't powderized. So Something's patterized then.
So it's really like, you can't.
Ain't talking about it. If we know definitively that it was cut up small enough that you definitely violated talking, you see, we're not really sure how small is small. But if you cut something really small, you minced an onion, right? You minced an onion. Everyone would agree that minced onion, you know when you mince really fine, chop, 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 you minced it really well? That maybe would be mutter to mince it further.
So that's me, definitely.
I think. I think. Yeah.
Well, when we're talking about crushing, let's say those tarot chips, kind of vegetables, I mean, we're not talking about crushing them to, like, mince onion size.
Right.
Without just, you know, breaking them in half, fourths, or whatever.
So, half should be fine, fourth. I don't know. Again, we're dealing with a phantom variable, the size. We just don't know what that size is. We have to sort of live with this, not knowing how small is small. So, if you have a tarot chip in half, that's fine. A tarot chip in a quarter, it's a question mark. I don't know.
Do you have something that's made from grated things like a latke? We were going to.
Excellent question. Excellent, excellent question. That should follow this pattern. If you have a latke, it's made from grated potatoes, I think you'd be able to crumble up a latke. Yeah, I think that should be fine. Thank you. Excellent. Yeah?
This may not be relevant, maybe before, but
we're going to talk about that in... Okay, let's talk about it right now. Excellent. It takes a nurse to ask a question about that. So, my whole life, I assumed that I have a bunch of kids, and one of them, let's say, has to take a pill. Now, pills, they can't swallow pills, they're little. So what do? We crush it up. Once you crush it up, you could sort of, you know, sometimes they could just drink the, you know, use it, put it into a liquid and drink the liquid, or put it onto a food, you know. What I actually sometimes used to do is slice a grape in half, and on a weekday, crush it up into a powder, put the powder between the two halves of the grape. They know it's there, but they eat the grape and they don't notice, they don't feel the, you know, the medicine in between, the pill that's crushed up in between. It works. So I was always assuming that you can never crush a pill on Shabbos. Chumi, the nurse, knows that pills are made up of powder that they make into a pill. If you now crush it up back into that powder, that should be mutter. And indeed, that is exactly how the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa Paskins in Perek Lamed Gimel Halacha Dalet, that one is permitted to crush pills because they're formulated from powder. And Ein Tochen, Racha Tochen. Once they've already been powderized in the manufacture process, I'm allowed to crush them up now. The only thing that we have to wonder is, nowadays, almost all pills have writing on them. So when you crush up the pill, you're also erasing. And this is a discussion we had, I think, the end of last year, right? When we talked about cutting cakes with letters on them, and you're ruining the writing on food, are you allowed to do that? Well, we did learn then that if you have, you know, the Israeli biscuit tin, everybody remember the Israeli biscuit tin from the end of last year? Those Israeli biscuit tin that, right, in case you forgot that there's a biscuit, it says B-I-S-C-Y-T to tell you that you should know there's a biscuit. So we said that if it's engraved into the food, you're allowed to eat it. And therefore, if you have a pill, such as the kind that we're describing, oftentimes they're engraved with sometimes a letter or a number, that would be permitted because it's engraved into the shape of the pill. So even the lettering would be okay to crush up. So thank you. That would be halacha l'maisa. It would be permitted to crush this pill, and even if it would have a letter or numbers on it, that would be okay because they're chakuk, they're engraved into the pill. Yeah.
Sometimes it's not engraved, it's like written.
So if it's written on top, then listen to whatever we said. I don't remember. What did we say? If it's a letter and you're going to crush the letter, I have to check my notes.
Yeah, I
have it. Yeah. Okay.
So if you choose the side of where I make the bun chalice, something like pressed powder, which is essentially also like powder that's been compressed, would the other person be allowed to?
Yeah, I would assume. I'm not the biggest bucky in compressed powder makeup, in all honesty. If you couldn't tell. But whatever compressed powder makeup is, the decompressing it, the crumbling up, shouldn't be a problem based on what we're saying. But besides that, it might be, if it's not, I don't know what it's made out of, but if it's not kidule karka, then any, oh no, it's non-food out of it. Yes, you're right. It would be a problem if not for the fact that it was very pre, it was crumbled up before, and I'm just thinking it a second time. Let's also think of something else that we might not. Yeah.
might not make sense. I'm still thinking, but like, isn't dirt like tokling already?
You're asking an excellent question. You're saying all dirt. Why did the Gemara say that dirt is going to be tochein when they want to crumble up the dirt? After all dirt was made out of particles of dust or dirt or something, and somehow they got clumped together. That's an excellent question. The answer to that is that since the natural process, nature made it, formed it into a solid unit, a clump, so we don't consider that to have been already tochein. If it would have been the human intervention that made it a pill, you have powdered, you make it into a pill, that's already ground up. But if naturally it became solidified, that would still be a problem.
So if you had sugar,
That's what we're talking about right now. So hold on. So sugar and salt. Believe it or not, people don't know this, but it's more lenient than you thought. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shabbos Shin Chaf Aleph, that's 321, that's the siman that we're talking about mostly. Siv Ches says, and listen carefully to how he says it, you're not allowed to chop up salt in a warm mortar and pestle, madoch, it's a crusher machine, a crusher. You can't chop salt in a crusher, but you could crush salt with the handle of a knife. What is he saying? He's saying that you can't use a tool in the normal way of crushing. You can't use a tool to crush salt, but I should continue that our mother says, when you have salt that was originally made into granules, and then they sort of clumped together, you're allowed to cut it with a knife, just like you cut bread with a knife, says the Mishnah Berurah. The whole point of cutting bread is why you let it cut bread or crumble bread, because it ain't tochen achen tochen. So too, you're allowed to do it with salt. So if I have salt in a salt shaker, and the salt shaker gets, let's say, the top of the salt shaker where the holes where the salt falls out of, it's all what's the word? The moisture makes it what? Solidified? Clogged. Is there a better word for salt than clog? Clog is, I need something like, what? No? Okay. What? Clumped. Yeah, but you know when it doesn't come out, like you shake the salt, nothing comes out, because it's, okay, it's clogged, fine. So it's clogged up, thank you. So I always thought you can't chop that salt away. The answer is, based on what we're learning, you can chop that salt away, because if you use a fork or a knife or something unusual, not a tool, but you are taking salt that was already crumbled up when you bought it before it went to the salt shaker. Now the moisture over the past few weeks brought it together, you just doing tochein achar tochein, that will be permitted lechatchila, and therefore the same probably could be true with the sugar clumps and maybe even sugar cubes. Sugar cubes are sugar. They somehow, I don't know, maybe they put it in some humidity or some moisture and they cube it up, and I could chop it with my fingers, my fork, my knife, and chop it into little sugar granules, and that will be permitted. Yes. Salt is probably not kedulei karka, and therefore you're saying anyway it should be permitted.
But it's not a food.
Sorry?
I was going to say it's not a food, but
it is
a food.
It is a food, yeah. That's a good point. Yeah, it might have that. It might have leniency anyway of not being kedulei karka. That's a good point. Why would the post be talking about this question then?
Raw sugar
is definitely kedulei karka. You're right. Maybe they consider salt kedulei karka. Minerals, not vegetables. I guess it's against Pirates of Penzance. We're going to have to discuss this further. Yeah.
So now that we're saying that we can do that with a knife or not a utensil for grinding,
right?
So does that, do you apply that to all tochen achatochen?
We're going to get there later. So right now let's assume that tochen achatochen is always permitted, but whenever we say anything is permitted, you're never going to be able to use an instrument of grinding. So we're going to give leniencies. All tochen achatochen is mutter. All things that are not kedulei karka are mutter. All food items that are not kedulei karka are mutter. And even when we say it's mutter, still utensils, grinding utensils, are going to be out of the are going to be off limits. Yeah.
But it's not a fashion
knife, but you can't use a regular knife
for cutting.
Maybe I read the wrong line. You see, the Shulchan Aruch that says you should use the back of the knife was talking about a certain kind of salt that maybe grew that way. But the Ramah then qualifies and says, but our salt, which used to be granules and just got come together, then you could sort of just use it with the regular part of the knife. So it's my fault. I didn't explain it well, so I'm sorry. But you're right. You will be able to use even the front of a knife to chop it up, or a fork to just chop at it. We're not talking about a shinui here. We'll talk about shinui some other time. But even the chopping straight ahead, straight away chopping, will be mutter if it had been granuled previously. Yes?
Is chocolate considered? I don't mention.
We're going to talk about chocolate in 7 seconds. Okay? Thank you. Let's talk about what happens if we say that there's tochen achatochen. There's a permission. I'm allowed to be tochen achatochen. I'm allowed to grind up something that's already ground for. What happens? Let's talk about the following. I shave off the edges of a piece of metal. So like little metal filings. You know those games like Etch-a-Sketch, like you can make this, you take like a magnet and you run it over the screen and it like makes smileys. So there are metal filings inside there, and there's a magnet on your pen thing. And let's say you scratch the metal to make these metal filings for such a game, for an Etch-a-Sketch game. Then you melt it in a hot pot of 2,000 degrees, and you make it a bar of metal once again. Are we going to say, oh, ein tochen acha tochen, I could go grind them up again on Shabbos? Right? It used to be, you know, metal dust, or whatever, metal shavings. Now it's made into a block again. Could I now shave it up into metal shavings again? Would we permit that? Why do you say no? In tochen or chatochen. If I take powder and I make it into bread, I'm allowed to crumble that. Why metal not?
You turn it into a liquid and then reform it into a solid.
So somehow, I don't know the exact parameters you're saying liquid specifically, but when you somehow make it into something that first grinding is as though it was never there. Meaning, if I have a bar of metal, you have no idea where I got that metal from. Did that come from filings? You would never know. And therefore, I don't have the permission of grinding it up again. That will be applied to chocolate. Chocolate, yes, it did start with a powder. But if you have chocolate powder, cocoa powder, what happened to it? It's not like you have cocoa powder and it's sort of like, I remember my son Menachem once decided he wanted brownies. So he sort of has seen his mother and father make brownies, so he took brownie mix, poured it in. He put an egg and put it in, followed the directions, I guess, put a fig of oil, put it in, and put it into the oven. He forgot one thing.
Mix?
Yeah, it's a mix. So, what kind of consistency did it come out? You put it in as powder, and it came out sort of as powder, just something or other, it's powder. So there, you could see that whatever came, you know, started, you ended up with powder. But when I put the cocoa powder from I take a cocoa bean, I grind it up, and make it into a cocoa powder. Now, I actually did once go in Eretz Yisrael. There's a place in near, there's two places. In far up, I went to both. In near Tveria, I think there's a kibbutz Degania. Kibbutz Degania was one of the early kibbutzim, and they have a chocolate factory where you can learn all about chocolate. It's not Mahadra, but it's very convenient because it's right next to Tveria. I went to that one. I didn't eat the chocolate there. However, then we went once to up in the Ramat HaGolan, there's a Mahadran chocolate factory, and I think the difference was, do they use, whatever the reasons for why chocolate specifically had, you know, Mahadran, not Mahadran Hashkafa, but in Ramat HaGolan, I went to another chocolate factory, and we learned how to make chocolate. So, they take coffee beans, they take big coffee beans, they're gigantic. They're from the fruit called? Cacao, is that how you pronounce it? Okay, gigantic thing, like the size of a small, medium-sized melon, and they cut it in half, they take out the cocoa beans, they grind up the cocoa beans, they let it sit, I don't know exactly what they do, but after they do all these processes, you create a chocolate bar. Do you see in any which way in your furthest imagination, this was once powder, when I make a piece of bread or a piece of, cake, you could tell that it's a powder by the fact that it crumbles, and I don't know, I'm not really sure how to say this. But somehow in chocolate, the original powder that you start with is in no way visible anymore. It's sort of like that shavings of metal that you now melted and smelted together, and it's just a piece of metal, it's not shavings. And therefore it's going to be prohibited to file down this piece of metal. So too, it will be prohibited to file down or to shave, make shavings of chocolate, even though you're right, chocolate wasn't originally made out of cocoa powder, but as it was processed, it lost its sense of being a powder. It regained a solid name, a name of being a solid, this chocolate, is it like a chocolate bar? And it will be prohibited to shave off chocolate for, you know, for this, you know, your decorations on your cakes. And that's the story with chocolate. So crumbling chocolate, shaving chocolate, chopping chocolate will be a problem because it's not like the regular toche achar toche. Yeah. Somebody have a question?
I was going to say, like, breaking off like the regular size pieces, that's not considered small, but it's like...
You say, what happens if I have a chocolate bar, and I look at how many calories there are in this chocolate bar? So, wow, this chocolate bar has 3,824 calories per two servings, so that's 1,790 something. So I'm just going to take a tiny little, break off a tiny little piece, right?
Like a cup.
Yeah, they even come according to the pre-cut things. So he's saying is breaking off a little piece of chocolate, oh my gosh, is that tochei? That's a general question. Whenever you cut one piece in one small piece, is that going to be tochei?
Breaking off like a chocolate bar to different pieces to make different
people. Oh, very good. So let's say I have a whole bunch of kids in the house and I'm going to break it up into 8 different pieces, is that going to be tochei? I hear your question. I can't imagine why how it could be us there, but I hear your question. Yes.
Yeah. So like candy is similar, sugar together to solid form.
Yeah, if it's melted, I would say whatever the word melted is used in between the original shavings part and what I want to crumble it again.
Okay, so it's the card, okay. But it's
right, sugar might not be a problem, but yeah, I hear what you're saying. If you want, and once something is melted, I think you lost the original toche, therefore you're starting at point zero and you have to be worried about toche. How long have we been talking? Rachel, what do you have?
42.
Okay, so another few minutes. I know it's very late. Let's talk about one more point. One more point to talk about tonight is using a shinui when we do talk. Let me just put things in perspective. We said that there's an Isser Malacha called Tochei. And then we said that there are a number of leniencies where Tochei does not apply. We said, what did we say? We said, the first one was to do it immediately, use immediate consumption. We said you could do like Karka, is a hefter of Tochei. We said, Ein Tochei Nachna Tochei. And now we're going to talk about the fourth leniency, and that is the leniency of Shinui. Now, in general, when you have a malacha d'oraisa, any of the malachas, and you do it b'shinui, that makes it
derabanan.
Right, asa derabanan. So it doesn't really help you halacha l'maisa. It's asa d'oraisa. You do it with a shinui, that makes it not asa d'oraisa, but it's still asa derabanan. However, we have a phantom, mysterious gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Mem Aleph, 141a, Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. And Rav Yehuda says the following. If you have pepper, and you cut them up, you chop them one by one with a knife, that's okay. I'm sorry, if you cut one up with a knife, that's okay. Because no one chops one pepper at a time. Maybe some of us have peppers. You would never chop up one pepper. Rava says, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. If you do it with one pepper, that's already doing things unusually. Rava says, wait, the very fact that you're using a knife to chop it instead of using your regular chopping tool, that's enough to make it mutter, and therefore you could chop even a lot of peppers with a knife. So without applying this so much to the salad dish discussion we had last week, we see the underlying theme of this gemara, these two opinions are saying that when you do something differently or weirdly in tochei, that makes it mutter. Similarly, there's another discussion that says that in the olden days, they had these... did you ever see rounds of figs? Not figs in a box, not figs in a like sun-made raisin box, but rounds of figs, like they smush them together in a way that they make a perfect pie. Did you ever see that? No? No? What? Okay, so there's like dried fruit that are like smushy, but solid but smushy. You could just compress them into like bricks. So the Gemara talks about that all the time. And the Gemara says that you're allowed to chop that up with a knife, not with the regular chopping tool. Question is, why are you allowed to chop? You can't chop, you can't chop. Why here are you allowed to chop with a knife? Again, there seems to be that when you do it with a shinui, when you do this malacha specifically of tochen with a shinui, that makes it not just, oh, it's not the raisa, it's going to be also the rabbanon. No, it actually makes it mutter for some reason when it comes to tochen. Why is that? So maybe next week we'll talk about why there should be this leniency specifically by tochen and not by any other malacha, except for lush. Why only by tochen and not by any other of the 37 malachas is there this leniency that if you do it with a shinui, it makes it absolutely mutter l'chatchila. And then we'll give some examples of how I could do tochen with shinuis, and that will enable me to do some, that will help me with some other things that will be issues. What I want to talk about next week, finish off the concept of tochen with a shinui, and then we're going to get to something very important, and that's going to be shmushing fruits and vegetables, like making guacamole. That will be next week. Okay, so thank you so much for coming. Thank you for being so late. And look forward to seeing you next week as a regular week.